Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
And earlier this week, the European Council passed the 14th package of sanctions against Russia since its invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. These measures focused on mostly on energy and liquefied natural gas imports from Russia. The measures also include ways of dealing with circumvention or getting around the existing sanctions by some European companies. Despite swingeing sanctions, exports of some sensitive products to Russia's near neighbours have risen exponentially, and these products usually end up in Russia. David O'Sullivan is the Special International Envoy for monitoring sanctions against Russia and the former EU ambassador to the US, and joins us on the line. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Joe.
Now, tell us a little bit more about what was agreed by EU ministers this week.
Well, as you've said, the latest package, the 14th now, focuses particularly on energy and particularly the transshipment of Russian LNG through EU ports. This was LNG not consumed in Europe, but transshipped and transferred from very heavy duty Arctic tankers to smaller, lighter tankers and then shipped elsewhere in the world. And Europe was a hub for this. This will now be banned. And this is going to make it much more difficult for Russia to export its LNG. We've also listed vessels who are engaged in illicit activities such as carrying military equipment or being part of the shadow fleet, evading the oil price cap. And this is a new step where the EU will actually, following the measures taken by the US, will actually list vessels who will be unable to have transaction services in any European ports or with any European maritime companies. There's also further measures on exports, further bans on industrial goods worth about 5 billion of annual exports previously. So this takes us now to sanctions covering about two thirds of previous trade with Russia. And there is an important measure in the financial sector, a prohibition for EU banks outside Russia to connect and carry out transactions using the Russian financial messaging system, the SPFS, which was their equivalent or their attempt to reproduce SWIFT, which has not been particularly successful, but some banks have been involved in using it, and this will now be outlawed. And finally, as you say, on anti-circumvention, new obligations on European companies to pay attention to what their foreign subsidiaries are doing in third countries, so that they also are not allowing their goods to be shipped to Russia. And finally, a no transfer to Russia clause for intellectual property rights. This involves situations where European companies sell their know-how to companies in third countries to reproduce goods, and it will now be banned that they cannot be sent to Russia.
Now, this is the 14th package, and every time a new package arrives, we often ask ourselves, why wasn't this included in the first place? But will the new package, which sounds quite, you know, a big package, will it prevent Greek-owned ships being allowed to transport sanctioned Russian oil anywhere in the world?
Well, we have to be clear here, Joe. We do not have an embargo on Russian oil exports. The G7 took the decision that it did not wish to have a complete ban on the export of Russian oil. So it is legal for Russian oil to be transported. We have said ourselves, the G7, that we will no longer purchase it, and we have stopped purchasing it. But it is perfectly legal for Russian oil to be exported, say, to Africa or to South America. And it is perfectly legal for European ships to do that, provided that they respect the price cap. That is a maximum price of 60 euros per dollar, $60 per barrel, which is below the international price for Brent oil. And that's the constraint that's been put. So it's not illegal for European carriers to transport this. Indeed, I would even argue that we would almost prefer that European carriers were doing it, because then we know they will respect the price cap, and at the same time, they will be properly insured. What Russia has been doing is purchasing end-of-life vessels in very poor state, insuring them in ways which are very unclear, and sending them out on the high seas with large quantities of oil. It's an ecological disaster waiting to happen at some point. So we have to be clear. It is still legal for Russian oil to be traded.
Should it be legal?
Well, I think the decision was taken that it would be very disruptive of the economies of the global south if we tried to cut off supplies of Russian oil. They were heavily dependent on this, and as you know,
but they have had two years to wean themselves off it.
Well, I think, you know, you try selling that to the countries involved who will tell you that they have long established contracts and that
so
this is
Europe.
Important for their. Yes, but we have a stake in this and they don't. Right. So I think also the question of how you would ultimately enforce a total ban, given that these countries, these are not mandated UN mandated sanctions. So I think the price cap has actually been extremely effective in reducing Russian revenue without creating a massive disruption of the oil market for developing countries.
OK, let's talk about circumvention. What about the surge in sales by European companies to the likes of Armenia or Kazakhstan or Tajikistan? Those European businesses know full well that their products are going to end up in Russia. Will this package deal with that?
Well, I think, frankly, we've already dealt with it. I mean, the surge of exports that you're talking about was largely, I would say, you know, last year's story. That was what happened immediately after the sanctions were imposed. We are now seeing those numbers dropping very considerably, particularly as regards the most sensitive products, the advanced technology products, what we call battlefield products, products which go straight into Russian weapons. And exports from the countries you mentioned to Russia of those products have almost stopped. There are other challenges of circumvention. There's more of those products reaching Russia through China and through Southeast Asia. But I think European companies actually are taking very seriously their requirements to make sure that their goods are not going indirectly to Russia. There are new obligations in this package for due diligence for companies to undertake and to make sure that they triple check that anyone they're selling their goods to are not likely to resell them to Russia.
Okay. Will this package work? Because the Russian economy is not deflating as expected.
Well, I think last time we spoke, Joe, a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, we had this discussion. I mean, I think, you know, you can see for the moment, you can see Russian economy glass half empty, glass half full. The half full is that, yes, the growth figures are impressive. But this is mainly due to the transformation of the Russian economy into a war economy. They are pumping massive amounts of public money into munitions, armaments, which are then being used on the battlefield in Ukraine. This is not productive investment, and they are asset stripping the rest of the economy. All the productive sectors coming out of healthcare, education, the National Welfare Fund, which was a massive fund which Putin had put aside, said this was for the welfare of the people. Now, one third of that has now been spent on military, and the Russian GDP is spending 6 to 8%. Of GDP on military. So, yes, you can say the Russian economy is not collapsing because it's going on to an entirely war footing at great cost to the welfare of ordinary Russians, but more importantly, to Russia's medium-term economic prospects.
All right. David, thank you so much for joining us today. That's David O'Sullivan, Special EU Envoy for Sanctions Against Russia.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.